Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, all in productions, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, iHeart, what else? iHeart. What?
iHeart, we're about to have a debate.
Oh, we are. We are. Ooh. I'm going to be in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo, like a good country song.
Home of Elvis Presley, if you know who that is. He's just an obscure country cool singer from the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. March 16 through 18, at Tupelo Comic Con. And then I'm heading over to Nashville to write some songs.
Oh, that's cool.
People. Yeah, after really that. Cool. So maybe I'll see everybody in Nashville. It sounds like, we're going to throw down in the Who's Gal.
I don't know if I should just do it now or if we should wait till we get to it, but I'll wait.
Let's do the synopsis and then you can open up the ball on us. Okay. Because feeling feisty. I'm ready to go at it.
Yeah, I don't know if you and I will agree or not.
I have a feeling we're not going to agree.
Ooh.
And this is not a setup, ladies and gentlemen. Super cool party people, episode 20. We're almost done season 6, gang. My intrepid crew, Suzanne French, Danielle Romo, Tara Sood, Amy Sugarman. Referee is Miles Lane. And here we are at Caesar's Palace. And let's get ready to rumble.
I don't know if we're all going to agree or disagree. We don't know that ahead of time.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
We do not.
I just thought about this episode for days.
Everybody is so busy. The schedule's so crammed. We don't have the time to get together and debate this before.
Right, we don't do a pre-debate.
We don't know. We do.
That's
not.
What makes this more exciting.
Exactly.
Eggs.
The raw, authentic emotions coming out.
I'll tell you, it's like professional wrestling with microphones. Who's going to do the synopsisations? I think it's Danielle, right?
I think it's Danielle.
I'll do it. I'll do it, guys. Yeah. All right. This is season 6, episode 20, Super Cool Party People, air date April 25th, 2006. Rory rushes to be with Logan at the hospital after he is seriously injured during a stunt with the Life and Death Brigade. Lorelai finally gets some time with April when she jumps in to save Luke from hosting a disastrous birthday party. but not everyone is happy about it.
Well, I think
well is right. So, okay. Why doesn't everybody say how they felt about the episode? And then I'll give my sort of thing that's been bothering me for 4 days.
I thought this was a fantastic episode.
Yeah,
I did too.
It
was good.
I thought this, and it got me at the end, and I'm telling you, I got emotional at the end. And I was searching my data banks to figure out why I was getting so emotional. And
interesting.
It hit me right away. I know exactly why I love this episode so
tell
much.
Tell us.
Because it was parents caring about their kids.
Yeah.
And the way parents should care about their kids. And it was people loving each other the right way. And it really got me. It really, really got me. Anyway.
Suzanne's face.
Huh? This is going to be a conversation, I think.
Yeah. Let's just start with that. Go, Suzanne.
Hang on. I got to go get my brass knuckles. I'll be right back.
No, I was thinking about this during the past week since we recorded the last episode, because when I gave the last episode a 7.5, you guys couldn't believe that I ranked it that low. I don't think 7.5 is that low out of 10, but
it's a
Gilmore Girls, really low.
Yes,
really low for Gilmore
but
Girls.
But then that's I started thinking, like, what constitutes a good episode? Like, are we ranking it based on the quality of the writing or how funny it is or how it makes us feel?
I think
the plot. So I think
all of the above.
All of the above and how engaged we are in the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So an episode like this, like, I watch Gilmore Girls because it's comforting and it's funny. And I watch an episode like this and I come away feeling anxious and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that wasn't that great of an experience. Even though there were some great lines and it was well written, it didn't make me feel good. So,
yeah, see, I don't watch it to feel good. I watch it to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
All day long. Statement. Like, I am, that's all I do is feel. So, I want to watch Gilmore Girls and that's escape fair. And just mm-hmm. have a good mm-hmm. experience instead of just trying to get through the day.
But it's also different because we're watching, like, in the past when I'd watch and I'd just binge it, I feel like I didn't feel that way because I just, like, roll into the next one. But yeah. Maybe it's because you're, like, isolating the episodes too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that could be. I don't know. So we'll get into it. But I'm mad at all of them in this episode. I'm mad at Luke. At Anna. I'm mad at Lorelai.
Mad at Anna-ish. But I watched Friends.
I'm not mad at anybody except for Mitchum.
I'm not even mad at him. Mitchum. I'm less mad at Mitchum.
I'm not that mad at Mitchum either. I watch Friends or Seinfeld or something for a chuckle, right? Modern Family. Right.
Exactly.
I watch this. I watch Sex and the City. I watch The West Wing. I watch Walking Dead to feel something. I don't go in having a requirement that it has to make me feel unicorns and rainbows. It's I want to feel.
I think this demonstrates this show's versatility, mm-hmm. its ability to do drama, comedy, all in one swoop. It's breathtakingly difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Each episode has a unique flavor to it, whether mm-hmm. it's shaded more to the comedy side more. And, mm-hmm. and here's the thing that I found unique, and this is me being subjective, okay? I cannot be objective about this because, you know, Luke provided the comedy in this episode. He mm-hmm. was the funniest guy in the episode, and I was really delighted by that because I forgot all about this. And everybody else was doing the drama. And he was sort of one of the central figures in the mm-hmm. drama itself mm-hmm. without Emily and Richard, showing again how versatile this cast can be. The Anna dynamic with Lorelai and Luke and all that entails was the thing that really got me watching parents care about their kids and protecting their kids and Rory protecting her boyfriend and screaming and you know, everybody having that Shirley MacLaine moment you give the pills to my daughter now and freaking, you know, this kind of
thing. Right, right, right.
Get your ass down here and you see your son.
She was not playing, even though
he was
the boys were playing at first. They they were very jokey.
Right.
And then
she snaps for Rory this episode because
she really loves him.
I think some of these characters took on a heroic. I've never loved Lorelai more and seen her as this kind of, you know, black belt in life. In any situation, she can make it better and fuller and full of joy. Mm-hmm. She was rather brilliant in this episode.
Yeah.
And I really think her leading this series is an incredibly wise choice on Amy's part.
Mm-hmm.
And what an actress that she got.
You really see that when you have Sherilyn Fenn and Lauren Graham in the same scene. Mm-hmm. You really see like, oh, that was almost Lorelai.
But I thought Sherilyn Fenn could have pulled it off fine.
I agree. I think it would have been a bit of a different
show.
It's Eric Stoltz and Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen the scenes.
Right.
We don't know that it would have been bad. It just wasn't as funny. I think Lauren Graham brings
more comedy. She's the Michael J. Fox
exactly.
to that equation. Yeah. The special, there's something extra special there.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a really heroic, versatile, unexpected, deeply emotional episode. It for me, it was the deepest episode in recent memory and emotions.
Yeah. So I watched it a few days ago, almost like a week ago, and it stayed with me multiple parts. Mm-hmm. If you'll indulge me to just bring up those topics. Number one, Anna being so angry at Luke because Lorelai planned the birthday. I have real conversations I want to have about that. Number two, Lorelai going to see Anna. I want to see what you all think of that. Anna's response, I'll give my quick opinion on it, valid in that she wants to protect her daughter from a woman who's going to come and go from her life. But it's almost like she's talking out of both sides of her mouth, because in this case, for me, Lorelai is engaged. They've been friends and together forever. So judging by what Anna's saying, Lorelai checks all the boxes and should absolutely.
Yeah, but the problem is she never met her.
And she's a stranger.
It doesn't matter. And when she said, nobody plays fast and loose with my kid, and she's 100% right. I understand that, but as Anna said, Luke is still in the audition phase.
Can we go back?
Auditioning? She doesn't get to take the moral high ground here because
she takes
the kid away from her father.
Thank you, Susanna. Okay. I really want to talk about the fact
but wait, hang on a second. That's a good point. That's an excellent point, but it doesn't negate the fact that Anna raised that child.
It does, though.
It doesn't negate the fact, and she has got an ultimate responsibility for that child's well-being.
We also have to realize Luke has not brought around Lorelai yet to meet and have build a relationship with April. So from Anna's viewpoint, I personally think rightfully so, she is a stranger, whether she is engaged to Luke or not. She is still a stranger. She has never hung out with her daughter. Anna has never hung out with Lorelai, has never even had a conversation. So, yeah. Valid.
Does anybody want Luke to say to Anna, you kept my kid from me for 12 years, and now you're telling me what you want me to do?
No,
I've been nothing but fair to you. I'll see you in court.
Go F yourself, Anna. You hid my kid
from me. Why, though, Scott? Why are you not mad
because Anna took your kid from you for 12 years? We're past that
now. I don't think we are. Because
that ship has sailed.
I was past it until this episode.
Do you know why that ship has sailed? Because he's accepted the conditions and the terms that Anna set
forth. I get that.
To have, quote-unquote, unofficial... Mm-hmm.
Until this episode.
At times, custody of that child.
He should take her to court.
Oh, God, no, no, no.
You're the
no,
father,
no.
Scott. You are the father of the child.
But that's not the way you play it.
It is.
When, that when, doesn't it is, benefit the child.
It is now.
It doesn't benefit the child to do that. It doesn't benefit
you,
April.
Luke has been nothing but good, right, kind, fair. And I think, although I understand what she's saying, she has now crossed the line and flexed so hard with she. It's equally your child.
But like, we don't know anything about their relationship.
We know that she did not tell you have a kid.
Okay, maybe there was a reason for that.
Name me a possible reason that.
Well, obviously she didn't want Luke back then a part of her or
that's
or
not her
child's
choice.
Life.
That's not her choice.
I understand
she,
that.
She told him when he went over there, she told him that she didn't tell him because she said he didn't like kids.
Right.
Like that was her reasoning, which right. I'm sorry, that's bullshit.
I agree. I was cool with her until she just really pushed it too hard.
Because keeping Anna from Luke, I mean, keeping April from Luke hurts April too. Like her daughter didn't know her father for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That hurts April too. It's not just about Luke. It's about April too.
And then flexing so much control. And look, we all know I have been team Luke on this. I always felt it was a Luke / Anna decision, right? But now Luke has made this decision to bring Lorelai in a very like minor way, by the way, that it's not, Anna doesn't get to come and scream at Luke and then flex on Lorelai. Lorelai has been nothing but cool, followed everybody's quote rules, and it was a birthday party.
Look, I think the issue here is for every situation, that is absolutely correct. However, and I'm not saying that this makes it right, but Luke is very new to the picture. And so we have to understand that Anna's not going to just be like, well, you're her dad, so go with it.
But he's new to the picture because she lied.
I understand that. But you have to understand where she's coming from. She's raised this daughter for the last 12 years by herself.
Kidnapped
whether that was
daughter.
Right.
She basically kidnapped the daughter.
However you want to look at it, kidnapped or raised the daughter. She has been the one solely raising this kid, whether it's right or wrong.
Wrong.
So, okay. I agree. So wrong, however we want to see it. But you now bring in a dad to the picture, right? And she's trying to navigate that on top of now not trying to navigate his fiance. I think we just have to realize that she's had all this control for so, so long. And now she's kind of feels like she's losing it a little bit, you know?
Correct. And she should have handled it in a different way. My beef is with Anna. Look, Luke could have handled it better, right? He could have called her and, you know, been a bit more communicative about Lorelai being there. But let me put it to you guys this way. And I've been very on the side of supporting Luke in his decision because I felt like it was his and Anna's to make. Say that Luke and Anna found out they were pregnant and they're in it together. She's pregnant and then she births the baby and decides to take the baby and it goes off just like she did for 12 years. That's kidnapping. Kidnapping.
Okay.
So why are we so like, well, this is what Anna wants and she's been raising the kid and it should really be her rules. No, she took the kid away, never gave Luke the opportunity to be a father. That is not okay with me. It's weird, frankly. And it's
I don't think we have enough.
I think it is criminal, frankly. Am I wrong?
I don't think we have enough information. You may be right. I don't know. But I don't think we have enough information about the nature of their relationship. I think we can speculate on it, given the very little information we have about it.
But we know
that's already
Luke.
Been pointed out. We don't know the nature of that relationship before.
I think you're totally right.
But what do we need
right,
to know?
Scott. But there's so many circumstances. Obviously,
right.
Luke is not a bad person. We know that. But
it's not a black and white situation.
Yeah,
there's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray here. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Should we go to the top and go through? Because,
but does nobody else not see Gray to me? Like that she,
I don't think
it just finally hit me this week. Like she took the kid.
Yeah, but we don't know.
But why does, what
is
it?
There's many reasons why people do that. Whether again, whether
okay,
right
so you guys flip it, right? Flip it. Say that a surrogate. So that say that Luke
no,
and.
What?
No, you guys, this, yes, you
it's,
guys.
It's not comparable.
It
a
is.
Surrogate and taking the kid, like, it's not
no,
comparable.
No, say, no. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Because a man can't carry the child. So say that there's Luke and Anna make a baby and a surrogate carries it. The baby is born and Luke takes it away from the mother for 12 years and then finally says, oh, my kid wants to do a DNA test. How, are you guys kidding me? Why are we giving Anna so much leeway? She took his kid, never told him about it. What is the reason that that's okay? Just give it to me and I'll hear you.
That we don't have an answer. We don't know. We don't know the circumstances.
I think that's where the gray area is like,
that's the gray. Yeah.
But what is a reason? Make up a reason. Make up a reason that makes it okay.
What, I mean, it's already been pointed out. What if after repeatedly telling Anna 12, 13, 14 years ago, listen, I have no interest in kids. I don't want to have
then
a kid.
Then he can say, I don't want this kid.
Well, he might not have been aware of it. Maybe they broke up when she was, you know, before she even knew she was pregnant.
But let's just say,
that information.
Totally. It's his kid. It's not her kid, you guys, just because she's carried the baby. It's his kid. And this finally hit me this week. Why am I okay that she took the kid for 12 years? So I'm just finally telling you guys, I'm not okay with it. It's not okay.
I know. It is literally not okay.
Again, I think we're operating with very little information here.
I agree. There's so many reasons. There's so many reasons why a woman can move on without the father and not want the father a part of the picture. There's many reasons.
Right.
We don't know what they are.
They're correct. If he's abusive, a criminal, an alcoholic, he is none of those things.
So how do you know that?
I know Luke. What are you talking about, Danielle?
But how do you know that? People change. I'm just saying, we don't know the nature of Luke and Anna's relationship. We don't know that.
I don't care about the nature of their relationship. I care about knowing him and her. So please, you guys, I'm not trying to be an ass. Give me a reason why it's okay that Anna took his kid away. Give me a reason.
Maybe they were having some really like verbally abusive arguments.
And so then they don't stay together. But I mean, it's still his kid.
What are you guys talking about?
She said why.
Why? What did she say, Susan?
She told him because he didn't like kids.
Right. She didn't like kids.
That's what she said. We know the reason.
And that doesn't matter.
He still deserves to have that information.
How can any of you guys say that that is a justifiable reason to not tell a person about their kid?
Well.
It's not.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is,
if that's the only reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. You know Luke. You know him. We all know him, you guys. Mm-hmm. We don't act like we just met this guy. We know him.
But I think
what is happening?
For that, I think that we know as the audience, we know Luke. But maybe Anna didn't know him in that same light.
What? She's dated him for so long. What are you talking about? You guys are making up things that we know not to be true.
I don't think we're making up anything.
I remember when you opened the diner, whatever she said, she fully knows. Anna sucks. She took the kid. It's not okay. It's not okay. And then now,
but you know, guys, everybody in the audience is listening. The problem with Amy is you can't tell how she feels half the time.
I'm just upset about it. I'm like actually near
doesn't
tears.
Express herself.
She's pretty gray.
I'm so emotional about it because it's like, I understand that I appreciate you guys trying to defend Anna. Why the hell we're trying to defend her? I don't know. She seems fine, right? She's a good mom, but she took his kid, right? And I've been playing by her rules and being very supportive of her, but never until a few days ago. What am I doing? Like, I think he's mad.
I think you're also looking at it knowing the other side of it. You know, based off of what we've seen, we know Luke, we know Lorelai, we know Rory, but she doesn't.
It doesn't matter about Lorelai.
We have to understand that.
No, I'm so sorry. And I know everyone's going to be like, you interrupted Danielle.
Okay,
Say your piece, Danielle, but give me a reason that it's okay that Anna took his kid away for 12 years.
Okay, so your argument is it's a good one. Maybe it's not okay. Okay, I can see where you're coming from. But at this point in time, this is a completely different show if he follows your advice and says, you know, blank Anna, yeah. I'm getting a lawyer see in court. That's not Gilmore Girls. And that's not, we don't get the entertainment value of this show.
Right, fair.
Right, okay. So it's better to see people trying to do their best under difficult circumstances and coming together as a community for the sake of this child.
Fair. Because if it gets
that contentious with the courtrooms and legal, and it's going to damage the child.
So I agree.
I like seeing these people struggle to do the right thing by April. I love that.
I love what you're saying. Yeah. Totally love what you're saying. And I feel like up until this moment, everybody's been doing that, right? Lorelai's been doing right by Luke because this is what he wanted. We're all being very respectful of Anna. Luke has been so respectful of everybody until Anna came and screamed at Luke for having his fiance help with a birthday party that was super lame and needed to be better for the good of the child. Then Lorelai goes and tries to do the right thing by saying,
Can I add one thing there?
Of course.
It's not just that. The one thing that she kept saying is that she had a sleepover and Lorelai was in the room with the girls.
Right.
That I can sympathize with. My kid is not going to be at a sleepover with another adult I don't know.
That's so right. Would it have been better for 100%
your kid will be at a sleepover?
Absolutely no. Actually, no.
Danielle, so but here's
with an adult I don't know. With an adult I don't know. Absolutely not.
Party, though. The girls, all the girls, including April, called their parents.
Yep, that's right.
So if a parent was not okay with it, they could have told their kid, "No, you need to come home."
Exactly, and also
or they could have said, "Hey, let me talk to the adult that's going to be there," nobody, and they could have asked Luke about it.
Hang on a second. Nobody called April. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody called Anna.
April called her. They show her on the phone with her.
She's upset because she thought it was just Luke in the room.
First of all, it's weirder if it's Luke. Number two, when your kids are 13, I guarantee you they will go to slumber parties at people's houses that you might know the mom and you don't know the dad, or you've met the dad. Like, that is how the world works. Like, your kid
I wasn't allowed to do sleepovers at people's houses that my parents didn't know.
If your kid called you,
you would have said, "No, you can't sleep over. You need to come home." But the girls that slept over had permission from their parents.
Exactly. And I had sleepovers for sure at Christine Borkenhagen's, and I don't know that my mom was best friends with her dad, but
yeah, but we came from a different, Amy, we're a little older than these kids, and we came from a different world. Where things weren't so unsafe.
We'll find that Suzanne's point makes the best
sense.
Especially
my planet. We did that all the time.
Totally.
Everybody knew each other. Everything was safe. Doors were unlocked, right? That is not the world we live in now.
But Suzanne makes a great point.
Which is?
Yeah. They all called their moms.
Correct.
They all called their parents. Like, if my kid called me and said, "Can I spend the night?" It's incumbent on me as the parent to make sure that's a safe situation for the kid.
I agree.
If I wasn't comfortable with it, I wouldn't let my kid stay. So presumably anyone that spent the night that night had their parents okay, or they wouldn't have spent the night.
But Anna keeps saying that she thought it was just Luke. She did give her consent for her to sleep over at her dad's place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did give that consent.
I understand I'm double talking because I have been very supportive of when it was Luke's decision, but like they're engaged. That would be like saying, okay, you can sleep at your dad's house, but his wife has to leave. Like, it's just totally crazy.
No, but Anna made the distinction between married and engaged, and people get engaged all the time.
She said,
"When you're married, then come talk to me." When you make that commitment.
I think the difference is like Lorelai wasn't there when the party started, where Anna could go meet her. I think that also
hasn't met her at all.
She just hasn't met her at all. That too. But like, let's say
she shouldn't have kidnapped the kid for 12 years. Maybe she could have met everybody.
I do think that if like this would have been a little different if like Lorelai was at the diner, maybe like she wasn't staying for the party, but she happened to be there when it started. Met Anna, and if Anna had her own issues with it, she could have confronted
Luke
about it.
Why isn't Anna throwing
the
party then? And why isn't Anna at the party? It's her kid's birthday party.
I did find that a
little
weird.
Like, where are you, Anna?
They made some comment.
They
explained why. Something about going to her grandmother's. I can't remember, but they did say that there was some reason Anna couldn't do it.
Change the date of the party. But also,
I think it was maybe it was Anna. Maybe she did have a legit excuse, but it's a big responsibility. It's deepening of the trust between Anna and Luke, right? Who are forming another relationship that isn't romantic. So this is a friendship relationship. This is two people that used to be together and used to be in love and have a child together, unbeknownst to Luke. And he didn't, in her estimation, make the right.
So what if Roy
step,
or
take
Lane
the right
were there?
Steps to. To make,
what if Rory and or
she's
Lane
trusting,
were there?
She's trusting Luke a lot now. This is like another level of trust. You throw her the birthday party. All the girls are going to be there. I trust you to do this. It's a big step for Luke, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
what if Rory or Lane were there helping with the party and they decided to sleep over? No problem.
I think it's got to be cleared with Anna. She's got to know who's at the party.
No, Anna ditched her kid to go
especially
to the grandma's.
Especially with teenagers. Because teenagers can invite their boyfriends and then their friends. And then
if you're going to let your ex-boyfriend, the baby's father, throw the birthday party, pay for the party, plan the party, do the entire party and be responsible for these kids all day long. But you're saying, but he's not responsible enough to then choose who attends the sleepover portion. Like, it doesn't make sense, you guys. It's totally idiotic that she's like, you're fine to go on a 10-day trip with her for her school, but you're not then smart enough to decide that your fiance can be a part of the sleepover. It's idiotic.
You're asking for a reason. Maybe it's something in Anna's past that almost got her killed or kidnapped or whatever. Her parents were looking the other way, didn't vet the people closely enough, and she's just reacting to that. So she promised herself if she ever had a kid that she's never going to take a chance. She's never going to let anybody play fast and loose with a kid. It won't happen.
But she's fine with Luke, who she hasn't really seen in 12 years.
Caution.
But no problem with Luke, who she hasn't seen in 12 years really either. No problem with Luke staying with the 10, 15, 12-year-olds. It doesn't make sense. She's just talking jibber-jabber nonsense out of both sides of her mouth.
I think nonsense. What I also took from it was I think that Anna also taking April for so long, I think she likes the control of her kid.
Right. Yep.
And I think that she has control that her kid was dropped off with Luke. But she didn't have control that Lorelai was also there. And I think that she feels like now that the other
parent. What about the clown? What if there was a clown at the party or a manicurist? Like, what are we talking about, you guys?
She left
her kid and all the friends with Luke, and now she's having a cow. It just doesn't even make sense. It's just like, come on.
It was, to Tara's point, like, she dropped off April at Luke's place to do just a quick little party that then turned into a sleepover, which then turned into Luke's fiance being at the sleepover and sleeping in the same room as the girls at the sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was just all these things that weren't a part of the original plan, mm-hmm. which, like, it's weird because I watched this episode and I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at Lorelai. I'm not mad at Luke. I'm not mad at Anna. I'm not mad at April. I'm not mad at anybody. I actually see how everybody how they made their decisions and how they felt in those decisions. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not mad at anybody. I actually totally.
I'm not mad at anybody either. I think everybody's just doing the best they can. And so Anna has a freak out because, as Danielle rightly points out, it was supposed to be a little party, a couple hours, and then that's it. And Anna gets April back and relief, and it all went well. Great. I trust Luke enough to do a little couple hour party during the day, and then it turns into a slumber party, which was Lorelai's idea, not Luke's.
Which she said yes to.
But still, she doesn't want to be the party pooper and she doesn't want to disappoint her kid, but this wasn't in the plan. And now it makes her nervous and she's having to deal with this stress all night. She probably didn't sleep all night.
No, sure.
She probably didn't sleep all night because she was worried to death something was going to happen.
Why didn't she come? She could have just come to the party. Hey, yeah, you're having a sleepover. Okay, I'll come join.
I think if you like, boundaries, if you think about it,
I don't know.
April came home. April had the best time ever, loved it. It was exciting and fun. She tells her mom, we had a sleepover, Lorelai.
Oh, I know why.
Put face masks on. She curled our hair. She read us book, whatever you do at sleepover parties. And she's probably like, who's Lorelai? Oh, well, this is dad's fiance.
Do you think
I haven't met her? Why is she with you if I haven't met her? Like, that is a very real thing.
Because I kidnapped my kid for 12 years.
Okay, but you got to remove that.
Why though? Tell me why I have to remove it.
Because even if Anna and Luke just broke up the year before, I would still feel the same way.
I agree with you if they broke up a year before.
Why does it make it different?
Because he would have been involved in the child's life the whole time and they would have been raising the child together and they would have established the familial unit being that. And then the mother gets to have a conversation. It goes both ways, right? Luke can say, look, if you're going to introduce your significant other to April, I'd like to meet that person first, vice versa, right? And when did Anna ever say to Luke she can't meet Lorelai? When did that ever happen?
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so here's what I think is going on underneath the surface here. I think Anna is jealous.
100%. Now. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think she flipped out on Luke because she realizes that ship has sailed. And in a previous scene, when they were Anna and Luke were in the diner and talking about the party, dropping her off, and then there was something going on with Anna towards Luke. There was a vibe.
There was definitely some flirty flirt. I wrote that down.
Flirty flirt stuff too happening. Maybe not so much from Luke, but it was definitely coming from Anna. So I think Anna had kind of scenario that maybe this is a good feeling and maybe we're getting back together.
I caught that vibe. That's fair. That's totally fair. I have to rewatch it. I think she's jealous because Lorelai threw a dope ass party and she didn't.
I feel like she's jealous of the April Lorelai connection, not the Luke thing. But I totally felt like she went to the diner.
Why don't you yell
at Luke because she was trying to pick a fight because she was jealous.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all the above. I think truly, like, yeah, she's jealous, of course. Yeah, she's uncomfortable that her daughter is there at a slumber party with a different adult that she's never met. Yeah, she's upset that she's losing control. I think it's all these things.
I think it's all the above too. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
There's so much more in this episode.
Yeah, we really haven't really. It's only been 45 exhausted. Minutes.
That's fine. It's about totally Rory. Fine.
I have opinions on all of it.
Great makeup on Matt Zuckery because he looked real mean.
He really did.
Scott, you start leading us through the episode.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So Lorelai, we start out the episode 45 minutes into our podcast in the Dragonfly Inn kitchen. Lorelai has a rip snorter of a hangover. Suki like weirdly refers to Christopher as chivalrous, the knight in shining armor. Did that jar anybody? I mean, maybe in this one circumstance, what else could he do?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's weird. She's so like
Right.
You know, all about Christopher.
Right, right, right.
Also weird that the one guy was banging the pots so loud. It's like, really?
Yeah, I know. It was utterly staged. Suzanne. Yeah.
The thing for me about that scene, because at the end of the last scene, she does the insane toast and then they hurry her off the stage. I thought that they took her home at that point. But then in this episode, we find out that was just the beginning of the Lorelei show. Right. Like she went on and tried
to start. That's why I said in the previous podcast, I wish they just let her talk, keep talking. And they, apparently they did. And we missed it. all right. So that was that. And now we're in the hospital. And do we see Logan yet? I don't think we don't see Logan yet. They just tell her that he's in serious but stable condition. And then we get to Finn and Colin,
mm-hmm.
who are delightful and funny in this. I mean, really, really funny.
But a little bit callous. Like, their friend is basically half dead, and they're like,
They deserve
they're
the
just kids.
Scolding.
They're
I think
kids.
They deserve the scolding from Rory. I would have done the same thing.
Probably. But... How did we feel about that, Suzanne? How did you feel about that?
I mean, at the same time, you don't really expect anything more from them because they're just kind of like, you know.
I was like this tracks.
I thought it was perfect. Yeah, like that's how you would expect them to act because they don't have a serious bone in their body. No, like everything is just a giant joke to them.
Yeah, it's like put them back together and let's party. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
Get him back up on his feet and let's get back to Costa Rica.
Pura vida.
Oh my gosh.
Rory's stepping up, you know, she's really like, you know, she really got into him. So now we're with Grant Lee Phillips, Grant Lee Buffalo.
Oh my gosh, that was so
good to see him again.
Making his feel good.
That was so crazy though. I felt like there were so many like background actors almost bumping into him. Yeah. It was like,
well, how
very
about that girl
bizarre.
That came up to him and she just stared and started walking to him?
I know, it was like so interesting.
I thought she was going to hit on him or something.
I was like, what's happening?
You know, but it was super cool to see him.
Yeah.
So that's a nice pop. See, this is why this show is so great. You get that stuff. You don't expect it. And then there he is. There he is. The great one. You know, he's on tour. The guy's on tour. I think he's going to be in Nashville when I'm there. I'm going to be in Nashville.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to Nashville. So now we're at Luke's, and Caesar has been running the show over at Luke's for 10 days, and he's changed some menu items and some traditions and customs over there.
The bananas.
And now he's clashing with Luke, who is back, and the cold bananas are no more, and the signs are no more. Let's talk about this. What'd you guys think of this scene?
I thought it was interesting that everyone wanted a cold banana. Like, I was like, where did this come from?
I don't even think you're supposed to refrigerate bananas.
No, I was
going to
say, don't put bananas.
I refrigerate bananas.
You do? You do? I thought it wrecks them.
I thought it makes them brown.
Yeah.
Well, I like a cold banana in my cereal.
Oh,
but
really?
does it
do you peel it
faster?
First?
Of course you... No. Peel it first. No way.
I feel like that wrecks them.
Yeah, you don't peel them. And if you peel them, you eat them. You know, that's what I tell my kid. I said, you peel that thing, you eat it, bud. You know, like Charles Bronson.
I like frozen banana, though.
Yeah, like
chocolate on it.
Yeah, that's different. Or even like just if you're like, I put bananas in the freezer to then make smoothies like the next day or something. But I never heard of just bananas in the fridge.
Well, anyway, you know, Lorelei comes in and they discuss the party and he tells her about the party and she offers her help and he rejects her. He says, nah, without telling her why, he just says, nah, I got this covered. And, you know, Luke being Luke, Lorelei comes over. Miss Patty comes over and says, don't worry, honey. You know, it may take a mule team to get Luke to the altar, but he'll get there. You know, this kind of thing. And she's looking a bit forlorn.
I wish Miss Patty, cause that was when she said that, the whole town is going with the endless love story that she's saying endless love and that they are covering up the whole thing about what she really said when she was at the mic. And I wish Miss Patty hadn't done that. Like I wish that the truth had just come out and that Luke found out about what she was saying at the party, because I need Lorelai to stand up for what she feels, and they need to have a conversation about this, and that could have been the trigger that forced it to happen. So I wasn't very happy with Miss Patty that she was participating in the cover-up, because I wanted it to come to a head and for the two of them to have a conversation about what's really going on.
Well, I have a feeling that conversation is going to be a cliffhanger in season six. Maybe it'll be two episodes in the future.
I don't want to say anything.
I just kind of have a feeling. All right, so now we're with Paris and Rory on the telefono. She mentions the former president of Harvard, Larry Summers, Lawrence Summers, who was the Treasury Secretary under Obama? Wow. Clinton? Yeah, he was.
I didn't even
get
any of that.
Yeah. And he announced that the Harvard was now giving open book exams, and Paris was railing against that. Why don't they just give us the answers? What's the point of all this? Why are they lowering their standards?
Yeah, not Harvard.
And this is the this is when Paris finds out. Is this when Paris makes the phone call?
Yeah, this is how Paris just gets it done. Like, and I gotta respect it. Right.
I love her.
She's like, it was fun.
You see the doctor all like,
huh? All right. So Paris calls the hospital to get the scoop because they won't give Rory, since she's not family, any of the information on his condition, on Logan's condition. Paris gets the information very quickly, which was a cool scene. And it makes you like Paris even more, right? All right, so now we're with Luke and Lorelai shopping, and it's more of
I have a quick thing about the hospital.
Yes.
Did it bug anyone that she was wearing the same coat that she gave to Doyle?
Oh, I thought she was wearing that same weird outfit she wore to the wedding.
Was it the whole outfit? The coat just really...
I thought it wasn't the Doyle coat. It was that weird outfit she wore at the wedding that everybody ripped on her for. And they're like, oh, where's that to a wedding?
It was both. It was that crappy skirt, but it was the Doyle jacket over it too. I guess she just got it back from Doyle at some point.
It threw me off the whole time. Coat. I was like, is this the Doyle jacket?
You'd think she would have just figured out how to throw some sweats on for the drive, but
for the hospital, yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, sorry, Scott.
Anyway. All right, so now Luke and Lorelai are outdoor shopping. In the background, you see the Warner Brothers Theater, which where they have what was the retrospective they were doing?
Recently?
Orson Welles,
yeah.
Yes.
So two big movies from Orson Welles. And you know, this kind of continues to set us up that Luke does not want Lorelai planning. I mean, Lorelai,
did you believe
really
his
offered
reason
her, up herself to help plan this party? He's just
did you believe him when he says, and yes, I can't remember if it's in this scene or shortly after, she's just gonna like you more than me.
Yes, this
scene. I believe him.
He was being honest with her. Yeah,
I believed him, but I didn't think it was a good reason.
Because
if his kid likes Lorelai, then that's even more time that he's going to get to spend with her. Like, if she's spending time with Lorelai, then he's going to be there too. So,
but I think that Luke likes that he has, like, April's his thing. I think he likes that.
For me, that would have been better if he said, you're going to meet her, you're going to spend time with her, she's going to love you, she's going to like you more than me, but I need a little more time where it's just us. I would have been a little bit more...
Yeah, like that's the whole conversation I'm waiting for them to have. And so when that whole shopping trip, he was being so rude to her. And then when she's like, well, I'll just wait here. I would have been like, hell no, I'm leaving. I'll see you later. Like, I would have been pissed. I guess I'm just a mean person. But
no, I don't think I was fine.
Loop in that scene.
I don't know if I would have been pissed. I agree with you that there are so many conversations to have. And I'm not a fan of the Three's Company episode, you know, where it's like, we all know she said it, but he doesn't know. And it's just like, oh God, like, can we just have these people communicate a little bit more? Like, at least Anna and all her craziness doesn't like bottle it up. At least she's just like letting everybody hear it from her.
I don't know. I just think, let's just respect Luke's wishes here with his child. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, no, you just
got to respect his wishes. He doesn't need to explain everything to everybody. And it's like,
I've been Team Luke from the whole time.
She's been abiding by his wishes this whole time. I just want him to have a conversation with her because he's completely shut her out. And he's not communicating with her even a little bit. And I just want him to reassure her that
he did communicate. What do you think he was saying to her?
Right.
He admitted,
was saying, you're not a part of this. Go away.
He wasn't saying that. Admitting something. And this is Luke being vulnerable. This is how Luke gets vulnerable. He admitted to her that he didn't want to get shoved aside by Lorelai's spectacular personality.
Which came to fruition.
Every single day of his life.
And it came to fruition in this very episode.
Right.
Because she did come and make the party great. She did exactly what his fear was, but he finally also put his kid first and was like, I'm willing to do it because my kid's party sucks the big one.
He just needs some space and some time to form his own relationship with his own kid. That is not asking a lot.
I've been Team Luke the whole time on that. I'm happy that
Lorelai has had her moment to shine with April. Like, I'm super happy about that. But I'm also kind of like, I wish it wasn't when Luke was desperate. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's kind of sad. Like, it made me feel sad for Lorelai. Like, he wouldn't let her near her until he's desperate.
Yeah.
Until he needs help. And
now he needs to.
Until she's useful to him, and then he'll let her in.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a bummer.
That was a big bummer.
And then the party turned out great. And he even said it was great. And you could see he was like, when they were at the party and she opened the gift that was from Luke, you could see how excited he was. Like, it was turning out to be a good thing. And
don't you have a little empathy for him? He just wants to be good at life.
And
hang on, let me finish. He's not good at life. He needs other people with bigger, sunnier, more joyful personalities to get him to step up and breathe some fresh air. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's so into his own thing and his own whatever it is, right?
That's why they're a great pair, though.
He wanted to figure out with his own daughter and be good at this and be a good dad so he could feel better about himself and have this relationship with his daughter. He failed at it in this instant, and he failed miserably
He just failed at throwing a birthday party, but that's
failing as a dad, to the point where he was so desperate to please his daughter, to be the hero. Like, now it's like, call Lorelai because I know she's great at this. And I just don't see it as a weak moment for Luke. I see it as him just wanting to be great at life.
I totally agree with you.
And I felt bad for him. And that's, I think, one of the reasons this episode moved me so much.
Yeah, I think he realizes, I think maybe he got to a place where he's going, I am a good dad. And one of the ways to be a good dad is to have help at throwing a tween. Is she turning 13?
Yes.
Teens birthday party. Like, very few dads, there are dads out there that would be great at it, but some would not be, Luke in particular. So I thought, good that he called Lorelai, and they are a team, right? There's also things that Luke is very good at that Lorelai isn't. So I see a real balance to that, right?
There's a yin yang there. There's plenty of
things that she needs from him, and it's nice that he needs something from her. But I also understand what everyone's saying is that it would have been nice if he wanted her to meet April, not in a desperate moment. Like, okay, now it's time. So, you know, the other thing is kind of like everything got thrown out the window, all his reasons for not letting April and Lorelai be together, all of a sudden they're just gone. So I thought that was a little bit quick for me too. Poof. Now it's just all fine.
So this is the writer's trick, right? The writer's trick, and what writers know and what studios know, what networks know. If you give the fans everything they want when they want it, they get bored. So they're just toying with us.
We're having this
discussion because the writing is so good. Because they're not giving, they're making us wait. They're making us long for it. They're creating controversy. they are giving us characters with flaws. Mm-hmm. So if we're sitting around watching perfect characters, nobody's going to watch that for long.
Right.
With,
it's boring.
People with no flaws are really boring. How are you going to watch that?
Right.
So this is just really solid writing, you know? Anyway. All right. So that's it. He's not allowing her to throw the party. Now we're with, then the next scene is Luke and Anna at the diner, and Anna throwing Luke some vibes. There were vibes getting tossed. You could feel it. He was getting it all over him, and he kind of realized it, and it made him wake up a little bit and look at her a little different way. And it was a very smiley, very energetic scene, but there was energy going.
Yeah. They were connecting
again. And it was on multiple levels. And it was like, I have written down here, uh-oh, things are about to get interesting.
I noticed it just a tiny bit. Yeah. I'd say they were more just like getting along.
Mm-hmm.
But you can interpret it however you want.
They were really getting along. This was like they were meeting for the first time and they really liked each other. But, you know, they couldn't show it yet. So,
yeah, I'm interested if that's what everyone else thinks.
This is the beginning of a second chance for the two of them, and Lorelai getting called into the rescue put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
But good, right?
Hmm.
So
I'm undecided on that. I'm interested what everyone listening thinks on that, because
I wasn't asking your opinion. I'm just stating fact.
No. I'm not giving my opinion. What I'm saying is I am very curious though. I'm curious if everyone else interpreted it the same way. Because now I'm torn. No, right, I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, now we're back at the Dragonfly, and I think this doesn't track. This is the one scene that didn't track for me. It's Michelle redesigning the Dragonflame website, the giant picture of his face with the tackiest idea that would never come from Michelle. Okay.
I feel like they just needed to give him something for the scene.
But Mr. Good Taste of the world, his world title of having the best taste of any human being in the world. And he makes this tacky, weird takeover of his giant face as the cover of the website.
I know that was just sad.
You click his ear, you click his nose, you get the reservations, you click his tongue, you get something
that's
else.
Like the weird Gilmore comedy that's sort of funny and sort of like what
it keeps you on your toes.
Was just unnecessary. It didn't do anything for the plot. It just was like, oh, we need to get him into a scene, so let's just throw this one in.
Right. And no one's actually making a website like that with their face on it.
No, they're not. And just get to the phone call with Rory.
I was going
to
say, all you needed was the phone call. We could have skipped the Michelle part. But
You could've, but it's always good to see Michelle, but didn't track for me. This is when Lorelai takes the call and... Rory tells her that Logan's been in an accident. And Lorelai, again, steps up and she's super mom. And can I send you or him a care package? And,
you know what's weird? Why didn't she... Like, I feel like Lorelai would go.
Anybody really, though? Rory's not her, just Logan.
No, but now that you say it, Danielle, I actually agree with you. I didn't think about it before.
Yeah.
I think she would have said, do you need me to come help? And Rory would have said no. Right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his injuries? A punctured lung, 6 broken ribs, internal bleeding, contusions, and concussion, and was in a coma. Wow.
So what I have written here is, does Logan have a death wish? Seriously. I think he does. I think subconsciously he does. He's always jumping off of things. And now he's jumped off the wrong thing with the wrong equipment, and he was drunk when he did it.
It was like, it's like to escape his issues with his dad, with his relationship. This is a
guy in serious crisis. And he's masking it with all that charm and all that bravado and all the money and all the parties and all that stuff. He's in deep, deep pain. If you jump off of a cliff and you're drunk with a little throwaway parachute like that, you really are living on the edge. You don't really want to live. So what do you guys think of that?
I think he's an idiot college kid doing daredevil crap, and
backfired. He's still in that age group where people think they're indestructible and that nothing bad is going to happen.
And his friends are all the same way too.
Yeah,
they're so idiotic.
The social circle and
It's like not. I think he tries to escape things like his dad and his relationship with Rory. That's why he like went on the trip. But I think everyone around him is encouraging it as well. So it's just like a part of the club, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause after that Martha's Vineyard weekend, when his dad was like, you know, you're graduating and you're going to London. So he's like trying to get all the last minute partying in the
fun. He's sort of rebelling has to be from the control. Up. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Poor little rich boy. Poor
he looked hurt boy. Though. I'm telling and you, I know did. I said it he once did. Already. They really made him look mangled. Yeah,
that gash on his cheek was very realistic.
Yeah.
It really looked bad.
I almost was like, was he hurt? And then they just worked it in, but I'm like,
So anyway, now we're back at Luke's, and he delivers the
the speech.
Oh gosh,
he didn't give the the party's a dud. The birthday party's a dud. These girls are sitting around playing cards.
Literally so bad.
I felt like I was watching when you're on an airplane and they give you the safety instructions. It's like, everybody, there are 2 exits on each side of the plane.
Right. Yeah, I think Luke delivered a pretty funny speech there. I actually rewound it a couple of times and I was laughing. It was pretty good. But then now we're, the party's a dud because everybody needs to use the bathroom. And finds this out.
So funny.
It's in the restricted area.
It's a restricted area.
It's like,
area.
Who needs to go to the bathroom? And every girl.
Everybody stands up. And then he calls Lorelai saying, I'm in a panic. This is a dud. I'm blowing it. Help me, help me, help me. And he says, well, what are they doing now? And he looks through a peephole and she goes, well, how are you seeing them? He says, I got a peephole in the wall. And she goes, and then he says, and he delivers, and this is going to be my favorite line. I do not have time for any weird jokes.
That was actually so funny. That was so funny.
That was a good line.
So she says, get a radio from upstairs, turn it to KC-101, and I'll be there in any minute. And so she, and then does she show up?
She shows up, but remember, he's like, you didn't bring anything.
No, I got this. And they're going back and forth.
Very cute.
Lorelai shows up, asks everybody to get in a line, hold hands, and then they go outside.
And they just snake across the town.
Across the street. That must have been so funny to film. Just all going through town.
Yes.
Is this really wise to serpentine?
It's so good. It's so funny and cute. And I like that she doesn't, I told you so, him. Do you know what I mean? She's just like, you know what? You got it.
And no questions asked either. Like, honestly, if I was Lorelai, I would have been like, nah, you said you could do this without me. You're doing it without me. And she just showed up and handled it.
She's stoked. Like, it was great.
It was cute that, like, once they got to the store, everything was ready. So she probably like stopped by before or like called and she thought ahead. She was on her feet.
Yeah.
Well, that beauty supply always makes me think of what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Shane.
And Kirk works there sometimes too. That beauty supply gets a lot of action.
Yeah.
More than one would think. More than the bookstore.
Like the local Sephora.
Yeah. Good. Good. Good.
So Lorelai really coming through. Being a hero. Then we're at the hospital again. Rory calls Mitchum Huntsberger.
Yeah. I actually have
Finds out. Logan says, well, she's talking to Logan's sister and they're flying in from Istanbul or someplace. And waiting for a connection. And listen, Rory, his dad is not going to go see him. He doesn't approve of the Life and Death Brigade. He thought Logan would grow out of it at this point, and no, he's not visiting his son.
My thing with that is Mitchum was in the Life and Death Brigade the whole time he was in college,
which she says,
and he still is in college. So that was my like flag of like, how would he grow out of it if like he's still in the mix of it all? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right? Well, I think Mitchum just is always just gonna jerk.
Because I think Mitchum didn't have a rich daddy to step into a role of responsibility.
Is that because it was the other? No, I thought the Huntsbergers had money also.
Yeah.
No, they said
had a lot.
It was the Huntsberger Empire.
Her father had money too. Leanne Hunley.
She was like a cocktail waitress or something.
Yeah, she was.
So then who was that old grandpa at the dinner? That was Mitchum's dad.
Mitchum's dad.
So Huntsberger had money.
Yeah, yeah.
But did they have the newspaper empire at that time?
Yeah, I think they had like hundreds of millions.
Like old money.
Yeah, they got, like they're rich.
All right, well, I sit corrected.
I thought we were calling Mitchum. I have that line ready when we get to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, what a great phone call. I mean, Rory stepping up and being a hero and saying the words that every parent needs to hear.
Here's what she says. Mitchum Huntsberger? Yes, it's Rory Gilmore. I just thought I'd call and remind you that Logan is lying in a hospital bed with a partially collapsed lung and a whole host of other potentially life-threatening injuries. And I'm figuring a guy like you, surrounded by nothing but a bunch of terrified sycophants, might not have someone in his life with the guts to tell him what an incredibly selfish, narcissistic ass he's being. So I thought I'd jump on in. Swallow your pride, get in your car, and come down here and see your son now.
Nice. Beautiful.
That's good. Beautiful. There's so many times I wanted Rory to stand up to people, and she finally did it.
She got even.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful, beautiful scene. And for all you self-obsessed, narcissistic parents out there, let this be a lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're back at Luke's. And I just wrote down here, Lorelai is just, she has a black belt in life. You know, she's really good at life and she's really good with kids and she's just a dream. Who shouted out bad idea, Hagrid?
Oh, yeah.
They referred to Luke as Hagrid.
That was so good. I forgot about that until you just brought it up.
What was Luke's idea? Luke had an idea to do something, and somebody shouted out, "Bad idea, Hagrid."
He suggested she wait until the next day to open her presents, because he thought she was going to open that weird bathroom set,
right?
Not knowing that Lorelai had switched out.
Right, he got heckled by the kids. It was really funny. So that's when
she was just saying that Anna was saying that they called him Hagrid.
Yeah,
because he was the least embarrassing parent on the trip.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So this is when Lorelai suggests a sleepover and a slumber party. And Luke says, yeah, but you'll have to call your parents to get approval, right? And then he goes behind the counter and he says, everybody line up. We see them all get on their cell phones, stand up and walk in different directions, get on their cell phones to call their parents at the same time. And he's trying to get everybody to queue up behind the diner. And he sees that they're not getting up.
I just love that the sign is still there. And the phone's right by the no cell phone sign. And he just turns around and they're all on their phones.
Good comedy stuff for Luke, I'm telling you. Form a single file line. And then there's a nice little scene of the girls downstairs having fun and doing Harry Potter chants or whatever they were doing. And Luke not being able to sleep.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time.
That brought back some memories for sure.
Yep.
And I think that was a nice moment.
And that's a very dad moment.
Yeah.
The dad's always like trying to sleep during the sleepover.
But the thing is there was, you know, the thought was, what is my future going to be? Am I going to be with Lorelai? Is this going to work out? And I miss Lorelai, in a sense. You know what I mean? I thought that was a nice little full moment there for him. Anyway, that's what I tried to do with the moment, as I recall, and I don't know if I accomplished it. All right, we're back at the Dragonfly, and Lorelai arrives in the kitchen and hands Suki some Bonnie Bell lip smackers.
Oh my God, lip smackers. The Dr. Pepper was my favorite.
Uh-huh. Anything. Anything from lip smackers, anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have flavors. I don't even know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you would get this pack of like 10 and they would all be like different, like sparkly colors. And
they're still around.
It was like so super sticky. It was like really thick. And
they sure just kept your lips chapped. But
but you smelled good.
Yeah.
You smelled like something.
The spray, the Dr. Pepper one.
I put them in a stocking, Christmas stocking this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still sell them.
Totally.
I just related to that scene a lot. Just open the pack.
That's my measuring stick. Nobody take it.
Oh, good one.
Well, you better hope I call on you first. summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
All right, then now we're back in the diner, and Anna storms in. And she really gives it to old Lukey. Oh no, is this? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
This is the diner, or is this?
Yeah, Luke's upstairs apartment? In the apartment. It's in the apartment. She did it in the apartment. Yeah.
Yeah. So she reads him the riot act, man. What'd you guys? Well, I think we discussed this. We know how. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows how we feel about this. We don't need to. But she really braced the guy.
Can I read a couple of her lines?
Sure.
She said, you wanted to throw her a party, Luke, you. And then Luke said, I know, I did. Anna goes, no, you had your girlfriend throw her a party, a girlfriend I don't even know, a girlfriend I've never met. This is not our agreement.
Shut up, Anna.
How am I supposed to explain this? How am I supposed to explain that to the other girl's parents? How am I supposed to tell them that I left their kids all alone with a woman I've never met?
Who they does already that? Know because they called.
Well, and she's not saying that any parents have actually complained. She's just like trying to think of something to be mad about.
Correct. No parents are going to complain.
He's not angry about that. She's angry that she's.
I have to know where she is and sunshine. Who she's with always.
She's angry at throwing sunshine at Luke. And then
first of all, Anna. Oh, I have to know where she is at all times. Okay, did you know when she came to the diner and yanked my hair out?
Exactly.
Shut up, Anna.
She's like rolling around town pulling out men's hair.
Right.
That's actually kind of a good point.
And then she is a good point.
But he's not like that. He's not snappy back like that.
Correct. He doesn't need to say it. I'm saying it to everybody else. Then she sent her kid on a 10-day school trip with a dude she hasn't really talked to in 12 years. Like, that wasn't good enough to know about the kid. Like, that also seems very odd to me.
It's inconsistent.
Thank you. That's the word I've been looking for. Inconsistent.
All right. So now we get to the hospital. And lo and behold, who shows up at the hospital?
Mitchum
Huntsberger, who is, let's give it to Greg Henry, a master of nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
I mean,
I won't say it, but he really reminds me of somebody.
Who?
He doesn't remind you all of a former president for some reason.
Oh.
Which president? Who?
The one we Trump? Just had before this one. Yeah, for some reason, Greg Henry / Mitchum is so Trumpy to me. I don't know why. Just saying.
Needed a little more hair fluff to consider that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And now we are back at Lorelai and Luke's house. I guess it's both their houses.
Oh, yeah. You know, thank you for bringing this up, Scott. Mm. I was glad he told her what happened.
Yeah,
I didn't need him to not tell her. Yeah. So kudos to Luke. I was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So they're having Chinese food. He tells her that Anna's pissed, and it's a big trust issue. And
I'm just glad he was open. She says she's sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
she shouldn't have said sorry. I liked that she said sorry because she felt bad, but she just was doing the right thing. So I actually that scene I actually liked. I thought they were getting along fine and dealing with challenges fine.
Right. Okay, I'm just texting Amy now. She'll be relieved to know that.
Me?
No. No, Amy Sherman Palladino.
Oh, good.
Amy
good.
Approves
Thank
of
you.
This
Thank
scene.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, hang on. Amy says back, thank God. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Logan and Rory.
This, yeah, real heart to heart there.
This was really nice, right? This was like, I wrote down, she really loves him.
Yeah, finally we're through the muck.
Right, exactly.
Which I was ready for.
Right. Right. It's kind of perfect timing. And I think a lot of these storylines got tied up and elevated in this episode, which was, I think it was so effective. And I guess this is where we see everybody's kind of growing up or trying to grow up or really move beyond where they were and declare and love each other and trust each other. It started getting emotional here for me. And then our final scene, we have Lorelai and Anna. You know, Lorelai goes to Anna's shop.
What do you think of her going there?
I kind of liked it. I liked that it was in person and not a phone call. I actually did like that.
Yes. I think it's a stand-up move. I think it's a real stand-up move by somebody who wants to take responsibility, wants to meet the person, wants to make things right, doesn't want to be a source of friction between Anna, April, and Luke.
And also, like, look at me. This is what you're nervous about or what you were afraid of or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, it's me. You don't have to worry about me, you know?
Exactly. I think she did it for all the right reasons, I think.
I do wish that Lorelai said before Anna had to prompt her, like, hey, I'm a single mom too. I wish that she had said that, like, I'm so sorry, I understand, I'm also a single mom. Because the only reason why she said it is because Anna's like, well, I'm a single mom. And she's like, well, I am. Like, you know what I mean? I wish she kind of walked in saying, like, hey, I understand your frustrations because I also was in the same situation you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suzanne, you're jumping out of your skin right now.
No, I was just going to say, I give her props for going and trying to have an adult conversation with Anna about the situation. I do wish she hadn't been so sheepish about it and taking, oh, if the whole thing was my fault, I'm so sorry. Because it wasn't her fault. Luke brought her in. She saved the day. Like, Lorelai was the hero that day. And I don't like that everybody's trying to make her feel bad about it. And I feel the same way about the scene where they're eating the Chinese food and, you know, Luke, she apologized to Luke and she said, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry too. Like, why is everybody trying to make her feel bad about this? Like, none of this was her fault.
Yeah, so I don't think she should have. But I think
Lorelai finds herself in the middle of a difficult situation where there's really strong feelings flying around, and she's being the bigger person. She knows that she's not responsible for all of these bad feelings. It's just, she's just being a good person doing the right thing in this situation. But she's taking the heat because she's being the bigger person in that situation. She's being the bigger person to Anna, going face to face. And being spectacular and great. I think she did great
with Luke. I think saying sorry is okay because she's saying, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry this is messy. I'm sorry, right? Yeah. That part I was fine. I don't think she should have gone to the store.
I think it really proves how much she loves Luke by going to that store.
I think she should have said
smooth things over. I think it's a really super advanced adult move.
It's just a little bit of an overstep. Mm. I think she should have said to Luke, why don't we go and try and talk to Anna now? Now that I've met April, you and I are in this together. We're engaged. Why don't we go and meet Anna so she can get to know me. To me, going on her own, not telling Luke she was going, that would be very jarring for me, no matter who I was. If I'm putting myself in Anna's shoes, suddenly the girlfriends there. It'd just be very jarring.
Do you think she didn't tell Luke?
I think we're to assume she didn't tell Luke, because if she would have said to Luke, he would have said, no, don't do that.
Do you think there's a part of Lorelai that was going over there to mark her territory with him?
No.
Like, that's my guy?
No.
And here I am, and I'm real, and I exist. And
I don't.
Deal with me. Do you think that was an undercurrent there?
No, I didn't. I just thought she was going to say, like, hey, I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry this got messy. I'm in
and
it
you
for
have
the
nothing
long
to worry
haul.
About.
Your kid's great. I want you to meet me. And know mm-hmm. that I too have a kid. I'm going to take great care of your kid.
You have nothing to worry about. You'll never have Luke. He's mine. Bye bye. Nice meeting.
No,
you.
I didn't.
I don't think there was any subtext there.
I'm not saying other people might not see that, but I don't.
I think she was trying to, again, like you said, Scott, she loves Luke so much. And she mm-hmm. was hoping that if she went and worked things out with Anna, then Anna wouldn't be pissed at Luke anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody could just be happy. I think that's what she was trying to fix. Right. I didn't think it was like a passive aggressive thing.
In the real world, though, that's not a move I would make.
Mm.
It's Did you guys
a lot
catch
overstep.
I don't know if this was an error on the writer's part or if Sherilyn Fenn didn't said the line wrong, which I'm sure they would have made her do 20 takes if she said it wrong. But she made a comment about how April doesn't meet people that she's dating. And she said she made some comment about when I get married again.
I think we're to assume she was married once.
She said, so basically until I'm ready to get married again, she doesn't meet any of the men I date. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Where's the again coming from? Like, where have we ever heard about Anna being married?
Right. There's the information we do not have. There's a lot of information we don't know about this. It's not filled in for us.
I guess that could be a reason.
It still doesn't.
Yeah. There you go.
No. Here's the thing.
Nat didn't pass.
That's fine. Anna doesn't want Lorelai involved. I still don't have a reason why we're giving this woman so much leeway on the fact that she took the kid away. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at. It's like, wait, what?
But what if she started dating somebody new and she told that new person that it was their kid?
Oh.
Well, then she's worse.
Whoa, but is that a reason?
Then she's a sociopath.
It's a reason.
What are you talking about here? No. All right. Look, let's
shout out to Pretty in Pink that they watched Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, that was pretty cute. Cool.
Yeah.
And the Molly Ringwald speech was really funny.
Yeah, I was just going to say when she really made a comment about Molly Ringwald because Molly and Lauren were in a show together before Gilmore Girls.
That's right.
And we also got to see like a real quick glimpse of Kirk in that scene when he was setting up the movie screen.
Yeah, he didn't steal the episode. He really didn't.
And there's a little Switched at Birth reference too, which is kind of funny that later.
Mm-hmm. Wait, mm-hmm. there is?
Well, it's the show hadn't happened yet, but there's some sort of did they mix up the babies thing? I'm trying to remember.
Rory said that. She went to the maternity ward in case she wants to pull a prank and switch
the babies around.
Who do we think? Let's do a new segment here. Who do we think stole this episode? Whose episode was this? Suzanne?
I think this was Luke's episode. I really loved the way he was just laying down those rules about don't go in the restricted area and you'll burn your face off. And I just, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
Tara, who do you think?
I have to give it to Lorelai for this one. I don't know. I just feel like there was, especially that last scene for me.
Mm-hmm.
With a close second to Rory.
Danielle?
Mm. And Lorelai.
Amy?
This was her episode.
Mm-hmm.
Lorelai. I mean, you know what? Look, Luke, Lorelai, Rory, all a tie. Zuckery, all laid up, doing good. Anna, even though I can't stand her.
All right.
It's a great episode.
It is a great episode.
It's made me upset, but it's a great episode.
Let's rate it. Suzanne, what do you give it? What's your measuring stick?
Okay.
And let's just be clear. What Danielle claimed measuring stick. What was that again? Remind us.
Lip smackers.
So lip smackers is on the board. This is not in the official rule book. You can use lip smackers if you would like to.
No, don't take it.
No, I am not going to use that one. I'm going to give this
out of respect.
I can't decide. I'm going to give this a 7.7.
Wow. Oh my God. You're tough. Oh. You're so
I'm
tough.
I'm telling you, I want to feel happy when I watch this show. And these episodes are not making me happy.
So gnarly.
7.5 what? What was your
Cold Bananas.
Oh, you took mine.
That was a good one.
Good well,
one.
You got to claim them. And from now on, you cannot claim
you cannot
measuring
claim.
Stick.
Yeah,
you
cannot claim.
You can't do it. We'll let it slide this time. Tara.
I'm going to give it a 9 parachutes that didn't open.
Mm.
These are so good.
Wow. Wow.
9.75 broken ribs.
No, you gave up lip smackers. But that's kind of like doing a joke off a terrorist joke. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to go with Cass, but...
9.9 people's in Luke's weird bathroom storage closet thing.
Excuse me?
Your storage closet people.
9.9 people's?
Or Pretty in Pinks, whatever you want.
Oh, 9.9, Amy. That's pretty high.
Yeah, I love the episode. I'm very upset about it, but doesn't mean I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 10.0.
Wow.
Rory furrowed brows.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, can I throw one more thing in? Did you guys notice when in the interval between when Finn and Colin went to get some of Logan's stuff, they brought back like everything from his apartment, like the suit of armor was in there.
No, oh my God, I did not notice that. But that is
the big like poster thing on the wall. It was pretty funny.
Suzanne, favorite line.
Favorite line is when Kirk said something about I'm very susceptible to signage.
But Luke had a better line. He said, I'm very susceptible to people that order things that are on the menu. So, Tara. So, we'll just correct that in the final version.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Tara.
It was more of the scene where it's Luke saying, like, all right, like, we're going to get a single file line. And then, like, he just turns around. It was more of that scene for me when he just turns around, sees everyone on their phone, and no one's paying attention to him.
Gotcha. Danielle.
Mine is when Suki and Lorelai were in the beauty shop and Suki says, I feel like I'm 15 again. Jackson's so getting under my bra tonight.
Oh my God. That's
funny. Amy,
I forgot to
yours?
Have a favorite line. I think I got so upset that I literally don't have one. So I'll just give Rory's speech to Mitchum. I literally did not take one note during this episode when I was watching it. I just watched it and was just like, I'm getting more and more upset. But I feel better after this.
How many yours? More do we have in the season?
I still have to give my line. Hang on.
Sorry.
My favorite line. Sorry, I got to go with Luke about the peephole line. I do not have time for your weird jokes.
That was great.
I do not have time for your weird jokes right now. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, kids. Thanks for downloading. Best fans on the planet. Next episode, 21, season 6. Driving Miss Gilmore.
Wait, yeah, how many more are there in season 6? Sorry,
there's 22 total.
22 total.
So we just have two more. Wow.
Two more, and then we're done season 6. Boy, it's getting down.
Wow, flew through this season.
Almost down to the wire. Season 6 doesn't suck.
It doesn't. It's strong. It really is strong.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, that's going to do it. Remember, go to the Warner Brothers Studio Store in Burbank, California, the Warner Brothers Studios, to get your Luke's Diner blend, your Stars Hollow signature blend, and your Dragonfly In Talk Fast blend, exclusively sold at the Warner Brothers Studio Store. If you want Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee on a wholesale basis, you can email support@scottyp.com. Stay safe, everyone. Everybody, don't forget. follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.